I'm Dana Carvey.
I'm David Spade.
Fly on the Wall's back for another season now on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
So many incredible guests will be joining us.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Too good to be true.
Hey moms, dads, teachers, and coaches, visit PNCAchieversBaltimore.com and nominate a local high school lacrosse player who demonstrates excellent leadership qualities in the classroom, community, and on the field. Every Tuesday from March 3rd to May 19th, we will be highlighting a PNC Achiever on air and online.
From the Anderson Automotive Studios, this is WJZFM, Catonsville, Baltimore's sports talk at 105.7 and always live on the free Odyssey app. From the OuchGuy.com sports desk, here's Ben Hall.
The Orioles' bullpen was one of their biggest question marks heading into the season, but it's quickly become one of their strengths. A big reason for that has been the rise of Anthony Nunez. In 12 and a third innings pitched this season, he's given up just two earned runs on six hits while striking out 15. Nunez earned the first save of his career on Wednesday. Manager Craig Albernaz talked about another solid outing from his young reliever.
Just being himself, you know, it's that's something where with a young pitcher, when you get thrusted into leverage moments and in the big leagues, you think you should do more. But Nooney has done a great job of just being him and sticking to his strengths and staying calm and attacking the strike zone. And those are great series for him. Get his first win as a big league pitcher and now get his first save. So I'm guessing he's pretty doused right now with a bunch of condiments and beer right now.
From the Bob Bell Nissan Kia Vessex Weather Center, temps are in the low 70s with sunny skies. Tomorrow is partly cloudy skies with a high of 75. I'm Ben Hall, Ravens Terps, and your home for the most Orioles coverage, 105.7 The Fan.
Highlighting stupid around the world. It's time for Jeremy Kahn's.
Come on, dumbass, play it.
World of Stupid.
All right, time to get stupid. We have a couple of stories here. Let's start it off with this terrifying moment where a huge bear was charging at a hiker on a Los Angeles trail. You find Rob dead on a Los Angeles trail. That means someone put him there.
Oh, yeah, somebody put me there. I was dead already.
Yeah.
Hey, let me go in the area where there are bears.
So we are a Lincoln Park.
Yeah. Really. We all know the stories with bears, right? If it's brown, you're supposed to run away. If it's black, you fight back. Yeah. If it's white, you just kiss your ass goodbye. Or be faster than your friend and trip him. Because if you get a polar bear, those whites don't mess around, Rob.
I've known that all my life.
They weigh like 1,800 pounds.
Oh, man. All right. But a terrifying video shows a large brown bear charging towards a Southern California hiker. And the guy, it's so funny, the man's dressed in hiking gear, wearing a hat that's seen walking towards the bear. There's some goofball that's a ways away that's recording it, and you also have the camera that's on the guy, so they had some footage of that. And everybody's looking like, what's this guy doing? I'm thinking he's crazy, I hope nothing happens to him. I'm not sure what's going through his mind, to be honest, but the last thing you would expect is for someone to actually walk towards the bear at that point. I was a little concerned for his safety. He told the network he walks that same trail at least three times a week. For about 10 miles each time. God, get something on your schedule, man, other than just walking in the woods. I don't know, maybe he likes it. That's not for me.
I've never encountered a bear on a treadmill. Never.
That is so true. But they always talk about how people should remain calm, stand their ground, and speak in a low voice so that the animal recognizes them as human. And the weird thing
hey,
is...
Smokey.
Yeah. Hey,
everything's cool.
You're looking for a picnic basket? They're over there. Yeah, that's not what he's looking for. He's going to eat your ass. Well, not.
Well,
you know
I
what?
Mean,
yeah. I hey, pause.
You know, isolate that.
God bless it. No, they said he was wearing something called bear bells, where they make as you're walking, it makes sounds, so bears know that you're human, and they tend to stay away. I don't know if that's...
Yeah, because bears are afraid of humans.
Well, if you got a
stupid.
Gun...
Stupid. This just gets dumber and dumber.
Yeah.
This would be World of Dumb.
But they were saying this guy pretended like he was going to run at the bear to try to scare the bear away. Eventually, the bear left, but I don't think that's what worked.
Those bells, yeah.
Bear's bells.
I'd risk my life with those bells.
Here you go. Grocery store groper allegedly molests a woman.
I thought they were melons.
Then gives bizarre excuse. A woman says she was sexually assaulted inside a grocery store on Sunday, and the incident has left her shaken and renewed concerns about shopper safety. The assault happened at a Vallarta supermarket. It's got to be a West Coast thing. The woman, only identified as Monica, said, "You feel so violated, it's like invading your personal space. You're trying to process what's happening." Apparently, this guy would go up to people going, "Oh, you got a bug on your back." And then he would start rubbing their back and then groping them.
Velarde looks like it's in New Mexico.
Okay. According to Monica, the man told her that the bug was on her back. He offered to remove it, and instead, he began touching her inappropriately.
Well, that's Velarde. It may not be.
Is it Velarde? Maybe that's what it's... I don't know.
He groped her. Something's on your back, and I groped you.
Yeah. He copped a feel. He was just, like, touching back and forth, and that's when I started realizing, wait a minute, what's he doing? That's not helping me get rid of a bug. Monica said she began screaming and calling for security. A witness who recorded part of the aftermath described the chaotic scene as the suspect left the store. But we've had the serial butt sniffers. Gropers. It's a world full of creeps, Ed.
He had more than one sniffer. We had a couple of them.
Yeah, but that guy was a multiple-time offender.
That one guy, and then there was another guy that was doing it. He was like fresh on the heels of the first one. It's kind of just crazy.
There was an old World of Stupid story about the Butterscotch Bandit who was out there. He's going around back and checking things out for some people. Yeah, it didn't taste like butterscotch. Where are we going here? All right, well, it's a perfect lead-in to What's in My Butt. This is one where the guy went to the hospital, but he didn't have to have it removed because it had already been taken out. You guys want to guess what was in this dude's butt? And by the way, it is unbelievably painful.
A plunger.
Sick, man. You're both sick individuals. You know that? No, it was a bull's horn. He was a matador and got...
A bull's horn?
Yeah, he got gored right in the ass.
By the bull.
Wow. There's video of it. Here.
So he wasn't volunteering to put things in his butt.
Look at this. Look at this picture.
Why do you decide to show me...
This dude's horizontal with a bull's horn in his ass.
Why do you decide to show me the...
Wow.
You want the after pictures? Hold on. This is my favorite. Do you think something happened to his butt? That's him laying on the ground with his hand over it. You know, like if you accidentally pooed your pants and you're walking, you're like it's going to fall out.
Once again, what does he do for a living?
He's a matador.
He's a matador.
You're supposed to get out of the way.
So let me go in there with the bull and, you know, just take my chances. You know?
Let me read you the headline. It's legendary Spanish matador can't eat, sleep, and suffered immense pain from gruesome rectal goring injury.
Jesus.
Morante de la Puebla, known as the king of bullfighters. Yeah, you're not the king anymore, bud.
That bull is the queen.
That bull definitely humbled you.
You okay? Yes.
Yeah.
You got humbled.
At least it's tapered and came back out.
I was in immense pain, felt a lot of fear because I saw the bull had grabbed me, and well... I thought I was bleeding. Yeah, you were, buddy. By the time I got to the infirmary, I saw the bleeding was minimal. I relaxed quite a bit, of course.
Changed
it hurt
that man's
a lot.
Life.
Without a doubt, it was the most painful thing I've ever experienced.
And related story, the bull's back there smoking a cigarette.
Was it good for you?
Why's the bull French? I don't know. It said the bovine drove the tip of its curved horn into Puebla's rectum in humiliating defeat, causing a 4-inch tear that left him clutching himself before he was carried off the pitch by four other matadors. See, this is where we would... You know, we don't have the sounds. Ben was looking for it, but I really wanted the, it's in my ass! And screaming that, because that's clearly what happened. The battered bullfighter who underwent extensive surgery to repair his rectal wall and sphincter, damn near killed her, said he's barely slept and has no appetite as he begins his long road to recovery.
And he needs therapy.
Did the doctor numb it? Num. Anyway, that's your World of Stupid.
Thank you very much. Rockabaco joins us to talk some Orioles baseball at 8:45, but on the other side, picture surface of Roquan Smith, and folks are a little bit concerned about the shape that he's in, like round. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on The Fan.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
Insights and analysis from The Fan's Vinny Serrato, former NFL general manager and director of player personnel.
He'll go up and get the ball. I mean, it was impressive watching him on film. But he is a really good tackler. He'll come up hard, aggressive.
Every day, Vinny provides grades and predictions for Ravens players and teams in our division.
Baltimore Ravens select.
Never miss a moment. Subscribe to Vinny and Haney on the free Odyssey app.
In today's real estate market, the agent you choose matters more than ever. Choose Vinny Steele. Hey, it's Rob Long, and for years I've been telling you about Vinny Steele with Your Home Sold Guaranteed Realty because his results and guarantees are truly different. Vinny sells homes 2.8 times faster and for 3.1% more than the average agent. That means a home sold for $400,000. That's about $12,400 more in your pocket. Vinny has over 12,700 buyers waiting, which means your home may already be sold. Vinny Steele has helped thousands of families over 23 years in real estate. That means your home sold guaranteed, or Vinny will buy it at a price and time frame agreeable to you. Take it from me. When you're ready to sell your Maryland or Lower Pennsylvania home, do your homework and call the expert I trust. Call or text Vinny Steele at 410-793-1801. That's 410-793-1801. Or visit VinnySteele.com. That's Vinny, S-T-E-O.com.
Big Bad Morning Show. Vinny and Haney. Inside Access. Live on YouTube weekdays 6 till 6. Subscribe for daily shorts right to your phone and never miss what you missed. 105.7 The Fan. From the 105.7 The Fan Traffic Center.
Good morning in Owings Mills. Still that closure on Reisterstown Road right at Hooks Lane due to a gas leak. The outer loop of the Beltway is slow from Bel Air Road to Providence. And then again, you're on the brakes from 795 to Liberty. The inner loop of the Beltway is slow from Old Court Road to Green Spring. 895 in the city is stop and go from Pulaski Highway through the Harbor Tunnel. 95 southbound is stop and go from the 895 split through the Fort McHenry Tunnel. And 97 southbound, you're on the brakes pretty big time from Newcut Road all the way to Benfield Boulevard. With your traffic, I'm Maria Dennis.
Rob, Jeremy, Ed, and Joe, the Big Bad Morning Show. Sports Radio, 105.7, The Fan.
Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on The Fan. So pictures have swirled on the internet of Roquan Smith in his white practice jersey, no pads, and Roquan looked a little round. I think what makes this such a story is people, Ed, last year suggested that Roquan Smith was a little out of weight, a little out of shape, I should say.
A little overweight.
Overweight, and I think these pictures kind of add a little more concern to those accusations. Your thoughts?
It's a concern because people have noticed that it's, you know, if you just a quick internet search, there's numerous articles about it. He appeared heavy during the off season. And if you remember, we've had a history with this, with star players coming in, a little like, they're working in Dunkin' Donuts in the off season, like T-Sizzle. Suggs signs a big contract, came back fat. Had an off year, came back, after that, became, returned to form, but it's a concern. And we felt that, people have felt he's taken a step back, and it could be the weight. I mean, look, it's not like this hasn't happened in the NFL. I mean, Jamarcus Russell ate himself out of the NFL. I'm not saying Roquan's doing that, so pump your brakes. I'm just saying, 10 pounds over his usual weight does impact your speed, so it's an issue.
Jeremy, you're concerned? You saw it?
It has to give you pause a little bit where you're going, okay, this has been something, this isn't the first time you've heard it with them, it's before, and far be it to, I'm not sitting here trying to body shame anyone, because even when you and I were talking about it, I see what everybody's saying, but I also, the one picture, he's not wearing pads and he's leaning forward, and I also think this is something that eventually works itself out, so... But it would be concerning for the beginning of the season because I don't think there's any way he goes through the year and he doesn't lose weight playing football. If speed is a concern, adding on weight, that's not going to be a benefit to a player like Roquan.
You're right. He could lose weight during camp, but that's not good enough for me.
That's fine.
You're a world class athlete. If you're gaining weight due to negligence, that means that you're neglecting another thing. You're neglecting taking care of your body. That's what you expect pro athletes to do, not just be in shape when they show up or be in shape when the season begins. You expect to keep, you shouldn't have to get in shape. You should be in shape if you're a pro athlete.
You get in shape to play, you don't play to get in shape.
Exactly. If that's what we're seeing, yes, it concerns me because that tells me now you're subject to injuries. You're not going to be 100% because you're constantly trying to catch up. If you stay on that level, then you don't have to get in shape. What kind of torture does he have to put his body through in July?
Shame like both of you guys.
I'm not fat shaming. He's a pro athlete. I'm not saying Jeremy's fat.
Hey, wait, easy now. Now you're fat shaming me.
No, I said I'm not saying it. You know, I'm just mumbling it. You know. No, honestly, man, I for a guy that we rely so heavily on, I am a little bit concerned because isn't there times when he's the only linebacker out there? A lot of ground to cover.
Well, that's why he got bigger. He covers more ground with it.
look, it's a concern because it's
an ass.
It's not just a Ravens thing. We've seen this through the NFL where weight is an issue and guys fail their physicals or their agility tests when they come in. I mentioned, obviously Suggs, Jamarcus Russell, Eddie Lacy got really fat in his career. I mean, it does happen.
Yeah, running back. Alabama guy, right?
Yeah, Packer guy, yeah.
Well, hold on. Was it Eddie Lacy? No, it was who was the former Ravens running back that played for the Packers?
And oh yeah,
they told him to bring his playbook, and he's like, "Well, F them, they're getting rid of me." And instead of bringing his playbook, he just started driving home, and they were like, "We wanted to add some new plays, but you know what? Stay home."
Was he with them in 2001?
I don't remember. Now I'm trying to. Was it Jason something?
Yeah, it was the year that Jamal went down. He was part of that whole road.
I don't know. I thought maybe it was later than that.
Okay, maybe it was.
Jason, damn it. Is he going with a B?
Booker? No. Brookins?
Samsonite? I was way off.
410-583.
Was it Jason Brookins? Was that?
I think it was. 410-583-1057. He was on a 2001 roster.
Okay.
Jason Brookins. that's 6 feet 235.
Yeah.
Then when he left the Packers, he was 6 feet 255. Yeah. But I'm not fat shaming.
See, when they talked about Eddie Lacy, though, they were like, "Man, he sure does love some Chinese food." You ever see his orders? It's like that dude can eat, man.
The fried donuts.
They said if I ordered this much, I get fried donuts
shrimp
for free.
Egg foo young.
Get it all, man.
Get it all.
The only guy I get away with is Daniel Cormier.
Yeah.
All about that cake.
Yeah.
Let's go. Yeah, how about that? He got away with it, didn't he? Beating people's ass in the octagon with a belly. Let's go to Trippy in Baltimore. What's up, Trippy?
Hello.
Hey, Bob, I got a question for you, right? Because you thought I forgot what you said the other day, too, right? I ain't forget when you said, "Boy, you like 130 pounds soaking wet." Something you said, right? So, like, why you making fun of fat people?
Yeah. I'm not making fun of fat people. Wait a minute. Why do you and the shark are a bit trying to be funny and you change narratives? And you don't understand when you do that, you send other messages. I'm not making fun of him. I'm saying, are you concerned that he's overweight? What is that making fun of?
You know why I'm not concerned?
Don't say I'm making fun of fat people, though. I'm not.
All right, I got you. All right, that was a joke. I got you, though. Hey, yo, Rob was not making fun of fat people, okay, Mitch? Hey, Rob, this is what I wanted to say, though, right? Because somebody made a good point. Now, look at me. I ain't gonna lie. I got the bird chest, the bird flu, whatever you want to call it, right? Now, if Roquan Smith came out there looking like me, what you think they would have been saying? That man, I don't even want to say what I was
about to
say.
Let me ask this, Trippy. That. Trippy. What condition was he in when they traded for him?
I mean, he was cool.
That's the condition you expect him to stay in. That's the shape you expect him. If he had a bird chest when you traded for him, okay, that's what you got. If he was in tip top shape when you traded for him, that's what you expect. If athletes being in shape wasn't a big deal, then they wouldn't tell you so much what they did in the offseason. To change their body, to stay in shape. It wouldn't be reported if it wasn't a big deal.
But this is the thing, though, man. That man going to be right, though. Maybe he just gained weight because he know what was going to happen last year. But look, my thing is, right, one thing I realized about Raven fans, they going to complain about everything. Now the man was too fat. How about Zach or defense was this trash? Like, let's talk about it.
Well, Trippy, I got news for you. The post wasn't by a Raven fan. It was by a media member. It wasn't by a fan. A media member, athletes need to be in shape, Ed. This is not an unreal expectation. You get paid millions of dollars to perform physically. Therefore, you are expected to be in shape. I'm not talking about my next-door neighbor. I'm talking about the inside linebacker for the Baltimore Ravens.
Yeah, and people that are required to drop into pass coverage is kind of important.
Yeah.
You're not an offensive lineman. I mean, this is just the way it is. So yeah, it's a concern. That's why they watch it so carefully. That's why they have special tables for guys in, you know, training camp and stuff if they're having weight issues. And you know, it's a real thing, man. It's a real thing. That's why guys fail their tests when they come in sometimes. So, I mean, I'm not gonna overblow this, but I would be concerned. And I saw the photo Jeremy's talking about. He's leaning forward in his white jersey with no shoulder pads. It can be deceiving too because he's bent forward. So I don't know, but I just hope he doesn't, because we've had issues with this and people have had issues in their careers with weight. So
410-583-1057. That's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Rocco Bacco joins us at 8:45 to talk Orioles baseball. But on the other side, we're giving out shovels.
Yeah. I just want to know what Roger Goodell is going to come up with next. Because if you're excited about the first pick overall, there's a second-round pick that I think you're going to find very interesting.
If you have a shovel, give us a call. Give us a text, 410-583-1057. Hit us up on Twitter, at BBMS1057. The Fan, shovels next.
In terms of the draft, you know, everybody says we're going to take the best player available, and that's usually not true.
Brian Billick on this year's Ravens draft.
But in the 14th, those guys in the 10 to 20 range, those are guys that have been pushed out of the top 10. There could be a major difference between the 14th guy on your board and the 20th guy on the board. Eric DaCosta, obviously a disciple of Ozzie Newsome, will take what their board says is the best player available, even if it's not at a specific position.
105.7 The Fan.
Sometimes historic events suck. But what shouldn't suck is learning about history. I do that through storytelling. History That Doesn't Suck is a chart-topping history-telling podcast chronicling the epic story of America decade by decade from the 18th century to the 20th. Original music and immersive sound design accompany us on our storytelling journey. Listen to and follow History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
From the 105.7 The Fan Traffic Center.
Good morning. The inner loop of the Beltway right at exit 16, that's I-70. An accident has the right shoulder blocked. Also slow on the inner loop from Old Court Road to Greenspring. The outer loop is stop and go from Bel Air Road to Providence, and then again from Park Heights Avenue to 795. In Owings Mills, Reisterstown Road, right at Hooks Lane, the right lane and the right shoulder blocked due to a gas leak. In the city, 895 northbound, right at the K-Trust Bridge, an accident has the left lane closed. 895 southbound is stop and go from Pulaski Highway through the Harbor Tunnel. 95 southbound, you're on the brakes, Moravia Road through the Fort McHenry Tunnel. With your traffic, I'm Maria Dennis.
From the OuchGuy.com sports desk, here's Ben Hall.
Draft day has arrived as the first round of the 2026 NFL Draft takes place tonight, and the Ravens are set to make their highest selection since 2022 when they drafted All-Pro safety Kyle Hamilton with the number 14 pick. Trading up has typically been uncharacteristic of the Ravens, but it's also rare for them to be picking this close to the top of the draft. GM Eric DaCosta talked about the possibility of trading up this year at the Liars Luncheon press conference last week.
Yeah, I mean, I think it just depends on the player and who that is and how highly we have him rated. So if we've got a bunch of guys kind of rated the same way and we like one of those guys, the chances of us going up and giving up a ton to get that guy probably wouldn't be something that we do. But if we have a guy that's kind of at a different level on the board who we think really comes in right away and can impact our team, certainly we'd be aggressive in that situation and potentially move up to get that guy.
The Ravens hold the number 14 pick in the first round. From the Bob Bell Nissan Kia of Essex Weather Center, temps are in the low 70s with sunny skies. Tomorrow is partly cloudy skies with a high of 75. This Fan Flash is sponsored by Farnan and Dermer. Call the comfort guys Farnan and Dermer right now from BG&E. Get up to $3,000 off select high-efficiency HVAC systems. For details, call 410-367-7777 today. I'm Ben Hall, Ravens Terps, and your home for the most Orioles coverage, 105.7 The Fan.
The Big Bad Shovel of Wisdom.
We're giving out shovels. If you have a shovel, give us a call, 410-583-1057. Ed Norris, we think we solved your mystery of your shovel. Let's see if we're right.
All right. Well, my shovel goes to Roger Goodell. Look, the NFL, they sell everything. You know, they're going to look like NASCAR drivers soon. It's a sin. But this year, you know, the draft is in Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
And the Bears hold draft pick number 57 in the second round. And I don't know if you guys saw this or you figured it out yet, but with the 57th pick, Devin Hester, who was a 57th pick, is their spokesman. 57th pick in 2006. You're going to get a lifetime supply of Heinz ketchup. Heinz 57 as the 57th pick in the draft.
Well, first of all, it is my favorite ketchup.
It's a child's condiment.
We have guests in studio who won a contest or bid it on us to sit here, Eric and Neil, and they...
But they're not getting ketchup.
They figured it out. They figured out your shovel.
Yeah. Well, good for them. They're smarter than you guys.
Well, next year, A1's going to sponsor the first pick. 7-Eleven will get two. I don't know which ones they're going to get. They'll just keep doing this until they can sell out. And by the way, did you know...
I think Smith & Wesson should give one out for the second pick for the Second Amendment.
See, we'll figure out a way to sponsor everything. Did you guys know A1 was invented during the Civil War? Who was sitting down saying, we need a really good steak sauce while all this crap is going
on? As the country's being torn apart.
Look at a bottle of...
Somebody overcooked the steak, and they said, we need a sauce.
Look at the...
And who was that?
A1 was made, and you're like, who had time
who
for
loses
this?
Points there?
Oh, buddy.
Hey. Overcooked steak?
Aye.
Oh.
Hey. Hey.
You're the exception.
Hey. I told them I didn't like steak growing up, because I think my family didn't realize the cow was already dead, so they tried to cook it to death, and I didn't like steak. It was just dry. When I went to college, we had a steak night. You ordered your steak, and for some reason, they didn't cook my steak all the way, and I didn't want to eat it. My buddy said, just try it, and that's when I fell in love with steak. At that point. Jeremy Kahn, who gets your shovel?
Yeah, the first base ump at the Northwestern NIU softball game. Now, I showed you the still shot.
Loud-ass shovel.
I don't know if it was Enrico Palazzo that was at first base on this call or what, but basically, I'll give you the rundown. 7-inning game, bottom of the 7th. Northern Illinois is up 5-4. I'm sorry, Northwestern's up 5-4. Northern Illinois is up to bat. Two outs, man on third. Girl up to bat hits a grounder to the third baseman. Very tough play to make and throw a girl out on that type of field. And she does. She throws the girl out, except for the fact that the girl beat the throw by about 5 steps. And then the umpire over there goes, yeah! And ends the game on that. To which I give credit to the Northern Illinois manager. She comes out and just lets them have it. And then the guy throws her out, and it's like, the game's over, jackass. Is that's your power? You're going to make me leave now after the game's over? So just a terrible, terrible look. I mean, this still shot of the girl past the bag as the ball hasn't even got to the glove.
My shovel goes to New England Patriots head coach Mike Vrabel. Now, Mike, I'm not giving you the shovel because you're seeking counseling. I think that's a brilliant thing. I think it's a beautiful thing, even if it's a PR move. However, when this started, you told us that it was ridiculous that we were even talking about this. That's what you told us. What you didn't,
laughable.
What you didn't tell us is the reason why we had these photos, because your wife had to hire a private investigator because she suspected your ass of cheating. Mm. You didn't tell us that part. Now here you are. You're going to miss day 3 of the draft for counseling. And again, I commend you for counseling, but don't sit there and talk down to us for something that you're guilty of.
Yeah.
That's the part. That's that part there. I tip my cap to you, man. Go to counseling, try to save your marriage. That's what you want to do. Save your family. You're doing the right thing. But don't talk down to us when you were guilty. Tell us you don't want to talk about it. Tell us it's a non-story. But don't tell us it's laughable that we're bringing it up. Now, your situation, instead of us, you know, everybody patting you on the back, now they're laughing at you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
410-583-1057 is the number. I mean that. I think what he's doing is a tremendous skill.
I think the Patriots should embrace it and have Diana Rossini announce their first pick.
I think with their relationship, she could tell us their first pick now.
Robert Kraft coming out. I can't believe you did that. You should have went to a massage parlor.
Do you think this will become a distraction?
I don't know. There's a lot of people that think that she should never get a job as a reporter again.
No, I mean for the Patriots.
I mean, we've seen this stuff happen. Well, maybe not this exactly, but we've seen coaches sleeping with, what was it, Rick Pitino?
Yeah.
at a Waffle House.
I said it before. I said
Bill
it again.
Belichick with the Giants.
I don't condone it, but I'll say it again. In these situations, the dude always bounces back quicker than the female.
Yeah.
So, ladies, be mindful of that. She is out of a career, and he's going to therapy. He's going to counseling. Yeah. That's the difference here.
What did you think of the... We talked about this a little bit, but Dallas drafting Paige Becker's girlfriend with the number one overall pick and them getting to the team. And then they asked about the relationship and would it be a problem. And the team stepped in and said they're not going to answer those questions. I almost feel like it would have been better had you answered it and said this is the last time we're addressing it.
Yes, I 100% agree with you.
Just address it.
This is our stance on it.
Yeah.
This is our official stance on it. Go ahead and copy and paste it because this is what you're going to get from us every time. You can't run from this. We all know it.
And you can always just say, we answered that question already.
Yes.
If you don't answer it, they're going to keep asking.
I'm just here so I don't get fined.
Right.
Because it's not a secret. We all know it. It was, Paige Becker told us.
That's why I don't get, I understand it's your private business, but you, from a PR standpoint, somebody should have said, hey, look, we address it now and tell them we're done addressing it. That way they can sidestep it. Every step
we were aware of this. Yeah. We did not draft her because that's Paige Becker's girlfriend. We drafted her because everybody knows she was the best player in the draft.
And Paige Becker's girlfriend.
And it just happens that Paige told us if she doesn't, trade her. But you gotta address it head on. But yeah, I think it's a shame that, here we are. Rabel's going to counseling and he's going to be champion for that, as well he should. Meanwhile, Diana Rossini probably will never work in this business again. And if she does, she'll do it for... She'll be on the cheap.
Yeah.
Because she'll be looking for a favor. She'll be on... You can hire her for cheap now.
Yeah. Well, I mean, she still has some friends in the business that said they would hire her right off the bat if she wants to get back into being a reporter.
Yeah, in front of the camera. And behind closed doors, there'll be a conversation about why they can't hire her. Come on, Jeremy, you know how that works. 4-10-5-8-3-1-0-5-7.
Well, it depends on who owns the company. Stu Gotts has his own private business.
You think
and he said he would hire in a heartbeat if she wanted to come work with him.
What does he do?
He used to do, and I don't know if he still does, the radio show with, what's the cat's name that from Miami that went down there? He used to work for ESPN.
Oh, you're talking about Dan?
Dan
Levitard?
Levitard.
I'm not saying no one will hire. I'm just saying she'll be hired on the cheap. I think
she'd be hired more as a radio host than a reporter.
If whatever she was making before, her next job she's not making. Let's go to Mitch in Owings Mills. What's up, Mitch?
Yeah, I just want to set the record straight on A1 steak sauce. It was actually invented in England in the 1820s. And I know this stuff because my wife is from the Deep South, and she overcooks all of our steaks, so I have to rely on that.
Really? What part of the South is she from?
North Carolina.
See, my family's from deeper south than that, South Carolina, and they don't overcook. My family in Baltimore was the guilty ones of overcooking. My family down south, the two things they don't do, overcook a steak or put A1 on it.
All right. Well, the south is vindicated there.
Yeah, so I thought maybe he's going to say Alabama or someplace really, really deep. Is North Carolina the deep south?
I don't know how deep it is. There's deep. If you can go,
that's the story
if you
of your
go
life.
Deeper,
that's the story of your life.
Shut up, man. By the way, he's not wrong. There has been a meme that's went around talking about who came up with this in the middle of the Civil War with A1. A1 was created by King George the IV's chef, Henderson William Brand, between 1824 and 1831.
That's Russell Brand's grandfather.
Ah, makes sense. And no, it doesn't. But
Oreo drama in Kansas City. We'll tell you all about it at 9 o'clock. But on the other side, School of Rock, Rockabacco joins us right here on The Fan.
Big Bad Morning Show, Vinny and Haney, Inside Access, live on YouTube weekdays 6 till 6. Search Baltimore 105.7 The Fan. Subscribe for daily shorts right to your phone and never miss what you miss. 105.7 The Fan. This is an Odyssey Sports Minute.
Midnight Madness in the Twin Cities. Wyatt Johnston finally broke the deadlock at 12-10 of the second overtime, deflecting home a power play goal to give the Dallas Stars a thrilling 4-3 win over the Wild. Both teams traded chances for nearly 40 minutes of overtime hockey before Johnston's heroics silenced the crowd. Dallas takes a 2-1 lead. I'm Drake Toll.
Ah!
I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for Murders That Defy Explanation, Mystery Seeking Exploration, and Shocking Secrets That Will Leave You Breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops. And neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
From the 105.7 The Fan Traffic Center.
Good morning. The inner loop of the Beltway, an accident right at exit 16, that's I-70, has the right shoulder blocked. The outer loop of the Beltway, super slow from Bel Air Road to Providence, and then again from 795 to Liberty. 83 southbound, the JFX, you're on the brakes from Old Pimlico Road to Northern Parkway. 95 northbound in the city, just before exit 57. A disabled vehicle in the roadway has the left lane and the left shoulder blocked. 895 southbound, you're on the brakes from Pulaski Highway through the Harbor Tunnel. And southbound 95 is slow Eastern Avenue through the Fort McHenry Tunnel. With your traffic, I'm Maria Dennis.
The Big Bad Morning Show is sponsored by Vinny Steele, your home sold guaranteed realty.
Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on The Fan. Ed Norris, Rob Long, Jeremy Kahn joining us right now from MassinSports.com, the School of Rock. He is Rockabocco. What's going on, Rock?
Hey, good morning, guys.
Morning.
Doing well, man. How are you?
All right.
What is going on with our boy? Yesterday, the Orioles scored a ton of runs, but yet we still get some problems from Chris Bassitt. In your opinion, are these fixable problems, or is this the new Chris Bassitt?
I mean, it's always hard to tell at this stage of a guy's career. I heard Ben McDonald say yesterday, it's not like you just lose it. And I'm thinking, Charlie Morton with like a minute for rebuttal on that one. I mean, some guys do just lose it, but I don't think that's the case here. There's too much traffic on the bases, and there's always those one or two pitches that end up costing him. There was a double yesterday, and I think there were three singles after that. Two of them were ground balls, so they were hit pretty hard. But still, you know, if they're in the right place, those are out. I think a big problem, his sinker is his main pitch, and they're hitting like 472 against it this year. And even a little bit to use this four-seamer, they're hitting 500. So, you know, that's got to get better. If your primary pitch is the one that's, you know, they're hitting close to 500, you've got a problem there. So we'll see. Again, if it's, you know, whenever you start getting later in your career, you kind of start to wonder if a guy struggles early. But there have been improvements. It's not like he's going the other direction or he's got a 20 ERA. I mean, we've seen some veterans come here and have really ugly outings. Kyle Gibson, it happened too when he came back. I think he's going to be okay, but definitely something to keep an eye on.
Hmm. Hey, Rock, are you surprised at all about the defensive struggles this team has had? Because it used to be that's what they pride themselves on, especially when Buck was here. Defense came first. Now it seems like it's been an issue. Four of our pitchers ended up, you know, in the top 20 in Major League Baseball for the defense costing them games.
Yeah, and it's interesting because, you know, that's all we were hearing about since Craig Albernaz was hired, that when he had talked to players individually, they were, without consulting with each other, like, hey, we got to get back to like fundamentals, playing smart baseball. And they were emphasizing fundamentals and defense. And of course, my thought is that's not really new. I mean, they were talking about the new Oriole way, but as you pointed out, they've always emphasized this. And, we don't have to go that far back. When Brandon Hyde was here, this team had a Gold Glove winner. Ramon Urias won a Gold Glove at third. They had Gold Glove finalists every year. And they were winning games when they were really undermanned because they were playing so well defensively and fundamentally. It certainly wasn't because they were spending a lot of money or they were scoring a ton of runs or they had the best rotation or bullpen in baseball. So, you know, it's not necessarily a new concept. But, yeah, the fact that they've been emphasizing it so much and there are these breakdowns is odd, and they are being addressed. Sometimes it's just in the heat of the moment. Sometimes it's a little flukish if, you know, Trevor Rogers misses first base when he's covering the bag and that costs him, whatever. But there have been more breakdowns than you would expect and more than this team can afford to have when they're struggling in other areas.
And Rock, can I follow up on Ed's question? And I understand the fundamentals are a problem, but to add to that, you got Jackson, Jeremiah Jackson, who's regarded as not being a glove guy, playing every day at second base. You have Kowser, who can play center field, but in my opinion, is not a center fielder. You have Kobe Mayo, who came up as known as a weak defensive third baseman, so you move him to first, and now he's playing third base. So to me, yeah, you do. Ed's right, you have fundamental problems, but you're not starting off with guys who are playing in the positions where they're best play, best suited to play, and you're relying on guys that you didn't think you had to rely on as much.
Yeah, this is funny, too, because we had this discussion in the press box recently where, you know, after we another issue in a game with the fundamentals and Craig Albernaz talking again about them, where we were like, all right, well, Weston Wilson's in left field today. And I mean, I know there's some of it is like, hey, we need a right-handed lineup. We're missing guys. But, you know, Jonathan Rodriguez was in right, and Blaze Alexander had never played right field at all until the other day. He was a replacement. He went from third to right and then started there the next day. So you're right. You've got guys, you know, Jeremiah Jackson has been much better than we were expecting, and he didn't play any second base for the Orioles last year. But nonetheless, he's now the everyday second baseman, which was not how they drew it up. So there are guys playing different spots that well, that wasn't supposed to happen. So I'm sure that is also the contributing factor, and I'm sure the counter to that would be right now we don't have a choice. And these are the guys on the roster, and we've got to put them here until we get some other guys back. They were expecting to have Jackson Holliday at second base by now. Remember when it was going to be mid-April, and they had no idea Jordan Westberg was going to end up being out. He was supposed to be the everyday third baseman. And, you know, Tyler O'Neill, again, concussion IL, so that takes the right-handed bat out of right field when he finally started to see some lefties. And Blaze Alexander went from a guy who was going to be kind of utility to pretty much at one point being an everyday guy, just depending where. So certainly not the way they drew it up early on.
I mean, Kobe Mayo just hit an absolute bomb yesterday. Seeing the home runs that have been hit here recently, you feel like it's way too early to say he's turning a corner, but what are your thoughts on what we've seen from him here recently?
Yeah, I mean, there's never been any question that he's got ridiculous power. It's just been hitting the ball consistently, and this is such a huge opportunity for him. I mean, you know, again, there's nothing to prove in AAA if you end up sending him back down, and he does have this chance on the roster and to start quite a bit with Westberg out and with Holliday out and what that does, you know, the trickle-down effect. So this is his time right here, and, you know, he was hitting the ball so well in camp and hitting it hard. And then all of a sudden he gets off to that slow start and you start wondering if his roster spot's in jeopardy again. But, you know, you got to just keep playing him for one thing. I've said that before. When you're that kind of a guy, a power hitter like that, sitting for days and days and coming off the bench to get a start, you know, he's never going to get going that way. But also, you know, if you don't hit, you're not going to get that opportunity. His power is so crazy that you hope that he can kind of unlock that and become more of a consistent player. And I think it's there. I just think you have to keep running him out there. I know they got a few other options, but this is, you know, this was a guy who was one of your top prospects and somebody who was untouchable in trade talks. And you've got two key infielders out. Just keep playing him and hope that, you know, he was able to go ahead and figure it out. And defensively, I mean, for the most part, I think he's done well, but as you saw yesterday, and I knew it was going to be a problem. He fields that ball at third. He takes like three or four steps. He taps the glove with the ball. And I'm thinking, man, you're thinking way too much about it. And he was upright. He was playing too tall, and he's a big guy. And he ends up bouncing it. And then it didn't cost him, but I'm like, I could just see it coming from a mile away. And those are things they still have to work on with him. But I think he deserves some props for playing a better third base than we thought, you know, he was going to. And considering the fact that we thought third base was over for him, and all of a sudden he was playing it again.
Study long, study wrong. And you're right. And it's a thing that we always say on this show, when people talk about getting players, well, it's better than what we have. And my account is always, yeah, but it's not good enough. He is playing better than we thought, but at this point, it's not good enough. We have to do better defensively than we are right now. And I just don't think the personnel is there. Rock, you are the man. Enjoy the day off, other than talking to three knuckleheads.
Thanks, Rock.
All right, guys.
All right, man. Thanks a lot, man. I mean, listen. Jeremiah Jackson is better than advertised, Ed, a second, but there are a lot of balls to get up the middle that a better second baseman would get. These guys, they're playing better than we thought.
I like what you said, but it's not good enough.
It's not good enough.
And that's right. Like, it's not a matter of... you know, just because you have a better situation with this or that, if you're not, and I'm not results driven, but after a period of time, yeah, you're going to look at it and go, this ain't it. If we want to get to a certain point, this has to be better.
Yeah. And tell us all about our 8 o'clock sponsor so the listeners can get better.
No, this isn't for the listeners. This is for Ben Hall. Yeah, Ben, you know, this is, you know, it's that time of year. It's baseball season, you know, time to step up to the plate. So just, you know, don't just watch the action there, Ben. You got to be part of it. You don't want to make a call to the bullpen.
Ben's watching.
Right? Boy, I don't know. You know, I don't.
Let the boy watch.
If she goes for that bullpen phone, man, you're in trouble. So don't buy that. Go swing by Lions Den. The lineup's always stacked. The night's going to extra innings. Check it out. Seriously, all kinds of great stuff at Lions Den. Adult toys, lingerie, games, books, just all kinds of stuff there. Great staff. And really great atmosphere. They're very helpful, and it's really, it's just consumer friendly. It's a fun place. Visit lionsden.com or check out one of the 4 Baltimore locations, Catonsville, Cockeysville, 7, or Pasadena. Just ask Jeremy about it.
Yeah. No Orioles baseball tonight, Ed, so get ready for all draft tomorrow. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Oh, absolutely.
Thanks a lot, my friend.
Thanks, Ed.
That's how I know Orioles haven't played on the draft night in a long time, because we're always able to talk all draft the next day. Ben, somebody just asked me if your last name was Dover. I don't know what that means.
No.
410-583-1057 is the number. Daily Line at 930. Oriole Drummond, KC up next on The Fan.
If you're thinking about it,
every day,
we're talking about it.
That's what I'm talking about.
105.7 The Fan.
Brad Evans here to help you beat the Bulls with Westwood One Sports. One attractive NFL draft market is on RBs drafted in round one. Jeremiah Love is an obvious selection, but don't be shocked if his Notre Dame teammate Jadarian Price is plucked by Seattle number 32 overall. The reigning champs need a Kenneth Walker replacement. Give me the over 1.5 round one RBs drafted at +115. Bet smarter, beat the books. Download the BetMGM app today.
My name is Whitney Allen, and I'm a widow. My husband Ryan died. We never thought we'd ever have to use life insurance, but the unexpected happened. With Ethos, signing up was fast and 100% online. You can get a quote in seconds, apply in minutes, and get same-day coverage. No medical exams, and you can get up to $3 million worth of coverage. I'm grateful.
Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out, Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch Podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.